It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. The pandemic made 2020 a cruel summer for live entertainment as musicians canceled tours and left a blank space on concert calendars across the country. Slowly, the live music industry has found a way to shake it off, and the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reports that household spending on live entertainment returned to pre-pandemic levels earlier this year. There was no bad blood for fans who were eager to get out and see their favorite artists again, led by the gold rush that is Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, which is projected to surpass $1 billion next year as it goes international. Call it what you want, but the tour has surpassed even her wildest dreams, helping the live music industry begin again and re-spark the love story between fans and their favorite acts they know all too well. We're learning more about what the resurgence of concert spending and the popularity of the Eras Tour says about the importance of live music in U.S. popular culture and the economy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been getting out to more concerts again lately? What do you like about seeing live music? What value do you think live shows have in the age of music streaming? What do you think of the success Taylor Swift is having? If you're a musician other than Taylor Swift, love to hear from you. What are you seeing when you go out on tour or just to play at the local club? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Steve Waxman is the L.C. Irwin Sweeney Professor of Music and Professor of American Studies at Smith College in Massachusetts. He's the author of the book Live Music in America, A History from Jenny Lind to Beyonce. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Really glad to be here.
Let's start with what I think is a pretty atypical example, the incredible success of this Taylor Swift show. What is driving the massive economic success of this tour?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors, and obviously a huge part of it is Taylor Swift herself. She's such a phenomenon as a pop star, and I think she brings together a lot of different audiences. I think she cuts across age groups in a way that's really quite significant, that not every pop star is able to do. I think she also cuts across like taste categories, you know, because she's got her like country following from back when she used to do that. She's got her pop following. She's got her folk following. Like, she herself has been so multidimensional. And so her reach is just like, there's not much else to compare it to among contemporary pop artists. But she's also just she's such a great marketer of herself. And that includes marketing her live music tours. It used to be the case 2 decades ago or so that live music was often treated in a pretty secondary way by artists and their agents and record companies. But of course, with the bottom having fallen out of the recorded music industry a couple decades ago, live music mattered more and more and more. And I think now it also matters in a whole different way to audiences. I think the pandemic really made a lot of people like me feel what it was like to lose live music. I was so tripped out. I couldn't even believe, like, I couldn't go to see a show. Like, what is life like when you can't see a show? It was surreal in not a good way. And we're seeing that resurgence now in a way that's really profound. People are recognizing that having that face-to-face contact with an artist, but also with a crowd, right? With an audience, like, these things matter so much and matter, I think, with renewed force in the wake of the pandemic. And so I think it's those factors all converging right now onto Swift's tour.
Now, most musicians are not Taylor Swift. We saw a wave of some musicians more in mid-tier, like Santa Gold, Lorde, and some others, canceling tours or saying why they weren't doing a tour supporting their new album. For them, after the pandemic anyway, they might have just broken even on a tour. What are the economics and the interests look like for that non-superstar tier touring act?
I think it's a really important question. And I think one of the things that we're seeing in this revival of the live music industry now is that I think there's maybe a greater gap between the live music haves and the live music have-nots. And I don't think that's an entirely new trend. I think that's been building for at least a decade or even more than that. And there's longer term issues that work there that we can talk about if we have time, like consolidation in the live music industry, I think has been a big player in that. But I think Santigold, Lorde, and others who've spoken out, like, they've spoken out about things that are really very, in some cases, very routine sorts of concerns that have had really tangible impact. Like, we've been in an inflationary environment for the last two, three years, and that has impact on live music touring, just like it has impact in every other aspect of our lives. When artists don't have the profit margins of someone like Taylor Swift and costs are mounting up, it becomes harder and harder to put a show on. But I think what we heard from someone like Santi Gold, actually was at a conference last year where she spoke about her challenges in touring and why she chose to kind of call off her tour last year. And she was really also stressing the psychological cost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of those things that's just a variable that you can't control. Some artists, some people, right? We see this in our lives. Some people have bounced back from the pandemic and they're just back to normal life and everything is like, ah, great, just a little interruption. And other folks are a lot more affected by what has happened over the last 2-3 years and are still coming out of it. It makes sense that we would see that among artists, that some artists felt like having to deal with the pressure of being on tour, being on stage, meeting the demands of their audiences, it was more than they could bear after having been in relative isolation for so long. And all the more so because some of the things that they used to be able to take for granted a little bit about putting a tour on, they can no longer take for granted. The labor power wasn't there the same way. You know, it's hard to get workers in the live music industry, just like it is in the fast food industry. All of these things are factors that some artists are being more affected by than others.
Talking to Steve Waxman from Smith College in Massachusetts, author of the book Live Music in America, looking at the current state of live music in America, the massively successful big money Taylor Swift tour, and what's going on at all levels of the industry. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to go see live music? Did you used to, but you don't anymore? What led to that change? Are you going to see Taylor Swift, or is there another big artist that you're willing to put down big bucks for? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, you mentioned the haves and have-nots among musicians. How about fans? I know as ticket prices go up, people are paying hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars for some of these high-profile shows. Concerns that, you know, that kid who might have gone to see that rock and roll show for $5 is out of luck now.
Yeah, I think that is another really big factor. I mean, thankfully, and I always feel like this is something that is important to point out, not every show costs that much, right? Like, you can still go to a bar or a club locally, see a few bands, maybe pay $10, maybe not pay a cover charge at all. If you're old enough, you can buy a couple drinks. That kind of thing is still very much reality. I think it's also the case that some of the venues that host those kinds of shows are the ones that are struggling more in the current economy than the big, you know, stadium shows and things like that. But I think it's become much more the case that, like, for the biggest tours, they're sort of predicated on the fact that people have a lot of disposable income, and that's going to absolutely keep some folks from being able to enjoy what those tours have to offer in a way that is very different from what the live music concert economy was a few decades ago. I think, you know, back in the rock era of the 60s and 70s, concert tour ticket prices were a whole different ballgame. And it was because it was assumed that the main audience was young people who didn't have as much money to spend. So it was assumed that if you charged more, I mean, at the time, it was like $10 was a high ticket price, right? It's kind of hard to even imagine nowadays. But it was assumed that if you went beyond that threshold, people wouldn't buy. And I think part of what we've seen, why that's changed, is because I think rock, as it has aged as a medium, has meant that, like, aging audiences, which there used to be the assumption that if you got to a certain age, you no longer listen to the stuff you listened to when you were younger. We know that's not true anymore. So people who used to be into a band like The Police when they were 12 years old or 20 years old are still going to be into that band when they're 60. And they're willing to pay $250 or $500 for a ticket to a show like that that they could never have afforded when they were 15 years old. And so I think that's been a big driver of change. Parents are taking their kids to shows in a way that was definitely not true when I was a kid. So I think there's been some generational shifts that have contributed to why the market has changed so much in that direction.
Steve, you mentioned consolidation in the live music industry, and I think we can't tell the story of modern live music without talking about the Ticketmaster and Live Nation stories. What do you see as the biggest impact?
Well, the biggest impact is that at the highest level in the industry, it's a very small number of major corporate players who are negotiating for market position among themselves with very little room for competition. And I think that has, you know, its obvious dimensions, which is like Live Nation, Ticketmaster, a few other companies like AEG just have a near monopoly on the industry. But I also think it has a big impact with regard to artists. And I think artists have spoken out about this, that artists often feel pressured to work with these companies because there really aren't good alternatives. Some artists make the most of that. Some artists use it to their advantage. And one of the things that I think Taylor Swift has done so well in the rollout of her tour, there was so much publicity about how she basically broke Ticketmaster, you know, to put it crudely. But she used that in such a savvy way. She made it seem like it was her versus Ticketmaster. I don't actually think that's a very accurate way of rendering the story, because Taylor Swift has cooperated very closely with Ticketmaster and other major corporate players in the live music industry for years, just as she's cooperated with various record companies she's dealt with. And yet she's managed to somehow strike this tone where sometimes she's fighting for artist rights. Sometimes she's fighting for her own independence, even when she's also reaping the benefit of those relationships. I think other artists could learn something from her about her ability to kind of use those relationships to her advantage. But I think more artists feel trapped by those situations. More artists feel like they don't necessarily have as much free range of choice as they'd like to have if they want to really take full advantage of the career opportunities that lay before them. And I think that has everything to do with the way that industry has become consolidated since the mid-1990s.
We're talking to Steve Waxman, professor of music and American studies at Smith College, about a resurgence of live music led by Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Whether you're a music fan or a musician yourself, how much did you miss live music during the early months of the pandemic? Are you glad to see concert spending coming back? Are you part of that story? Have you been going out to see lots of live music, whether it's the corner bar or the big super show? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time.
I said, oh my, what a marvelous tune. It was the best night, never would forget how we moved. The whole place was dressed to
the night. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. That's Taylor Swift, whose Eras Tour is setting new records and having an economic impact on a par with the Super Bowl if they played it again and again in different cities. She's been the face and voice of the live music industry bouncing back from the pandemic, but her experience doesn't necessarily mean good news for all live performers. We're picking up the conversation with Steve Waxman, professor of music and American studies at Smith College in Massachusetts, with us today looking at the cultural significance of live music. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Fran is with us in Viroqua. Fran, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call both as a parent who just recently took her daughter to see Ed Sheeran. It was her very first concert, so that was something new for both of us. But I'm also calling as a singer-songwriter. I know that many of us, you know, we're not really big name, but those of us who are, you know, we're trying to make a living through concerts, we went online and we're able to support ourselves that way. And many of the larger name in singer-songwriters, many artists are supported through the Patreon app. And that's an app where fans can support their artists through a monthly pledge. So that has, I think, grown in resurgence. And also I wanted to comment about concerts in the park, local music. and how that happened during the pandemic so that, you know, communities could still experience live music. And that has just really flourished since the pandemic. So I just wanted to make those comments. Thank you.
Fran, thanks a lot for the call. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I think everything that Fran just said is right on. You know, what I've been really intrigued to kind of keep an eye on, and it's hard to get a read across the board, is like, I think she's right. Things like Patreon, like just generally streaming performances, became so much more crucial as a way for artists to support themselves and for audiences to feel connected to music they love. And so coming out of the pandemic, how much is that stuff still mattering? I think it is still mattering a lot. I think it's kind of become an extension of the way that artists have used things like Twitter and Instagram in order to create those bonds with their fans. And I think, personally, I have to say, I never felt like watching a live stream had the same pleasure for me as an audience member as being at a show, because the thing that I couldn't reproduce was being in a room with folks. So I think it's absolutely, those tools are absolutely crucial, and especially crucial from a perspective of where do you get your revenue from? But it's now, I think it's like a supplement that artists can take advantage of along with everything else. And that's great. But also just reviving some sense that music is something that can happen, like, you know, that outdoors was a place we could do things more safely. The town I live in, Northampton, Massachusetts, during the pandemic for the first time ever, or as we were just coming out of the pandemic in the early phase, started closing off this one central street downtown to traffic and having music there 3 or 4 days a week. We'd never done this before. And once we started doing it, it was like, why haven't we been doing this forever? Like, it's the best use of public space you could imagine. And thankfully, we have continued to do it now that we're in much less risk than we were, just because it's such a wonderful way to make downtown feel like a more lively, inclusive space. So absolutely, that, you know, I think we often find ourselves in those situations where we're like, well, at least that one good thing came out of the pandemic. That is definitely one good thing that came out of the pandemic, I think, in a lot of local communities.
Fran, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Steve, I've focused a lot on the economics of live music. Can you talk a little more about the cultural value? What do we gain when we get together with other people and then watch other people play music for us?
Yeah, I mean, what do we gain? You know, there's so many dimensions to that. I think music itself is just so enriching. And I think having that sense that, to me, I think being part of an audience really matters a ton. You know, you can listen to music at home. You can listen to the same music at home that you can hear in a concert. If it was just a matter of hearing that music, you don't need to go to the concert, right? We go to the concert because we want to have that sense of being present for something. And that presence is partly being present for an artist who we really admire. But I think so much of it comes from the social part. You know, you may or may not have a conversation with somebody in the room. You may or may not do more than make eye contact with the people who are around you. But when you go to a show, however big it is, you're there and you've made the same choice to be there as all the other people who are there. And if it's a big show like a Taylor Swift show, chances are almost everyone else who's there is a fan. And you might connect with those fans in other areas, right? Like, you can, again, you could connect with other fans on social media sites and various other areas where you can kind of have that sense of this is the thing that you share with other people. But there's something so powerful about seeing that manifested in person, live in front of you. And especially, I think, it has one way of impacting us when it's thousands upon thousands of people. It has another way of impacting us when it's dozens of people, right? Like, I go to see like a show of experimental jazz or something like that, and I'm one of maybe 50 people in the room, and I still have that sense of connection. Like, we've all made a decision to be there on that night because we care about this music. I think that makes a huge difference, and it's why live music matters so much in general over time, and why it matters in a very particular way after a time when we were not able to connect with people in quite that way for longer than any of us would have hoped.
And now, Steve, a lot of times when we go see a show, it's to see a known quantity. I'll say I used to be more adventurous. And, you know, if I knew the cover charge was $5, I'd walk into a bar and see what they were, sight unseen, knowing nothing. Can you talk about the value of just wandering in and checking out something that may surprise us?
I mean, for me personally, that's like my favorite thing to do. I often actually prefer to see a show where I don't know the artist that much. And then if I really dig it, I'll like go explore their music further afterwards. I think there's something that happens when you encounter music for the first time live. You have that sense of how it's made. You have that sense of what the singer's really bringing to it, where it's not just like you're hearing their voice, but like you're really kind of seeing the artist just like pour themselves into it, if that's what they're doing. Like if they really are an artist who's compelling and who moves you. I think it's a great way of musical discovery. I think, you know, even like live streaming, like to get out of the purely live, but like the live stream can be another great way to do that. You still have that sense of like the artist being a physical presence. I really value that experience a ton. And I wish more people would look at it that way, as not just like, here's a chance to hear all those songs I've been listening to at home already for the last 2 years, but here's an opportunity for me to experience something that is completely unique and that I may not otherwise have ever encountered.
And just briefly, Steve, if I could ask a personal question, did you try to get tickets to Taylor Swift?
I did not. And that's not any diss on Taylor Swift. I will admit, like my own concert going, I do a lot of it. But I mostly go to small shows. I mostly go to local shows, not necessarily always bands I know, although sometimes it's friends. That was the last show I went was friends of mine. But I really like to support small local venues. I feel like they are the ones that really need the support. People are going to go to see Taylor Swift, whether or not I'm there or not. So I like to have an experience that feels a little more personal to me.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been really nice talking with you.
That's Steve Waxman, the L.C. Irwin Sweeney Professor of Music and a Professor of American Studies at Smith College in Massachusetts, author of the book Live Music in America. He was with us today to look at the present and past cultural significance of live music as the Taylor Swift Eras Tour helped bring concert spending back up to pre-pandemic levels. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.